Exactly right.
She's the breadwinner.
She's the breadwinner. Oh, Lord have mercy. Mark chapter number 4. Verse number 3 says this. I believe that was my second announcement. Make sure I said chapter number. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him, with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now he's dealing right there with the nation of Israel, and we won't get into that. But verse 13 said, and he said unto them, I don't care who he's talking to. If the Bible's written, it's written for our admonition. He said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. Now, do you remember Sunday where blind Bartimaeus was? He was by the wayside. He was by the wayside. These are they that are by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they had heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. I feel like we ought to pray. Zach, if you will, pray for us, please.
Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. We thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you for all that you've done for us. We pray tonight, dear God, that you touch our pastor.
Help us, Lord.
That you give him the things that we need to hear, dear God. I pray that you'd help us tonight, dear God, have our hearts prepared to hear what the word of God that the preacher has to say. Dear God, I pray that you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
We can see in this text or in this passage of Scripture that the seed is the word of God. We have no problem with that. And I like the way our old friend, Brother Sammy Allen, describes this text or describes it even in some of the other Gospels. Brother Sammy says the seed is the word. Is that right? There's nothing wrong with the seed, ladies and gentlemen. Nothing whatsoever. The seed is A-okay. Now, I know in the day in which we live, they've tried to change seeds, and they've tried to cross seeds, and they've tried to do all kind of different things, and that's what they've done with the word of God. They've changed it and crossed it and corrected it and redone it and everything in the world, every flavor you want. If you want a sodomy Bible, you can get you a sodomy Bible. If you want you, you know, just whatever kind of Bible you want today, you can get. But I want you to understand there's nothing wrong with a seed that we have. Nothing wrong with that King James Bible. Nothing whatsoever. And there's nothing wrong, Brother Allen said, there's nothing wrong with a sower. There's nothing wrong with a sower. If a man's got the Word of God in his heart and he's sharing it with other people, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that guy. He said the problem lies, and it lies within the soil, huh? Nothing wrong with a seed, nothing wrong with a sower, but the problem is with the soil. What is that soil? It's the heart of man, and that's what I want to slow down and try to look at tonight, our heart. I want us to take a close look tonight at what God calls our heart and what lies within it, huh? That's where the Word of God's being sown. It's being sown into our hearts. First thing we can see is that the seed that fell by the wayside, we see that seed. This is those that have heard the word, but take no time to understand or consider it. Oh boy, couldn't we stay right there a while, huh? Isn't it amazing at how people can sit in the house of God year in and year out, and 20 years later, they're just as ignorant about the things of God and the word of God as they was 20 years earlier. Isn't that amazing? Because you hear the word, and you don't take time to consider the word. A lot of times that word just goes and lands upon our mind while we're sitting there, and sometimes it doesn't even do that because we got 40,000 other things on our mind, but it's just amazing how we don't take the thoughts that God gives us. Hey, listen, many times when I'm studying my Bible in my private time, we talk about these questions, and I have questions that arise in my mind, and sometimes they're the simplest questions. Sometimes there are kindergarten questions that God asked me that you probably have known all your life. But nonetheless, God has asked me this question, maybe to refresh my memory, maybe just to teach me something. But for some reason, here's what we do. We hear the Word of God many a times, and we just take what we heard, and we go on, and it's almost as if we hoard it up in a corner somewhere and never do really do anything with it. And God said it's like that seed that fell by the wayside, people just receiving the Word and not doing one thing with the Word, huh? What's the last time you did something with the Word of God in your life? When's the last time it took effect? When's the last time the Word of God changed your life? I'm going to tell you something. That book will change you, friend. It'll do one or two things, huh? That book will convert your soul to be saved and on your way to heaven, or that Word will condemn your soul and let you die and go to hell. But I can promise you one thing, the Word of God shall not return void. That's right, friend. We all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody's going to have to stand before God one day. Saved and lost, we're all going to have to stand before Him at one throne or another. And I'm telling you, Miss Stephanie, He's going to deal with us according to the Word of God. Listen, friend, if you don't do anything with the Word of God's going to be fulfilled in the fact that He looks at His angels and says, cast them into that lake of fire. That Word's going to be fulfilled in your life. Or He looks at that same person and says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Welcome in. That Word's going to be fulfilled one way or another. What you doing with the Word of God? What's it doing with you? Has it made any change in your life? That seed that fell by the wayside. It's important enough. I'm talking about these are heart conditions, ladies and gentlemen. Where's your heart at tonight? Do you take time to consider the Word of God? Do you take time to read the Word of God? Do you take time to hear the Word of God when it's preached and take it home and dissect it and study it and get a good understanding of what God's trying to say to you? Or have you just brushed Sunday service, Sunday morning services off? I wonder if we do that. A lot of times the reason I don't come in here on Sunday morning and preach a message and then Sunday afternoon preach a different message is because we are not even going to deal with the Sunday morning message proper yet. I like to take that same message and break it down and stay along those lines so we can deal with it accordingly, huh? He said one of the conditions of people's hearts is they'll hear the Word of God and not do anything with it. And the Word of God won't do anything with them. Just lay stagnant, dormant. Hold on. What's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen, if you hear the Word and don't do anything with it? What did the Bible say would happen to the seed that fell by the wayside? That fell by the wayside is that heart that doesn't do anything with the Word. That just hears that Word and that's it, friend. That's as far as the Word goes in their life.
Here's what the Bible said. The fowls will come and devour that seed out of your heart. Yeah, he's sowing that word in your heart, but I can promise you one thing. If you don't deal properly with it, if you don't consider that word, if you don't let it do anything in your life, I promise you the fowls in the Bible in this context deals with the devils of hell. It's talking about the devil himself, how he's going to come and just devour that seed out of your heart. What does that word devour? I'm not trying to be too simple, but just look up a plain definition. And for the word devour sometime, I'll give it to you in a minute. But our text is stating that when people do not take time to consider the word that's sown, then the fowls come and devour the word. Here's what's going to happen in this heart. There's things that are preached and taught, and there are hearts that do not understand things that's being said. What needs to be done? How many of you always understand what the preacher said? Always understand what the Bible said? How come sometimes we read our Bible, we hear the Bible, and we don't understand it, we just kind of let it go as, you know, well, some things are past finding out. Listen, friend, when you don't understand something, it's your job, it's your duty, it's your responsibility to search the scriptures and see what that's talking about. Ask your preacher. Ask your husband, ask a Christian brother or sister to help you. Go home and pray over it. Look in the Bible and see what it says. God has something in there for you. If you don't understand it, this is that heart that's by the wayside. Don't take time to understand what the scriptures has to say. Isn't that sad? If you don't take time to deal with it, I promise you, your enemy will come and devour that seed. Do you know what happens, Miss Stephanie, when the enemy devours a seed out of your heart? You're never going to get that back from him again. Whatever purpose God had for that seed to be sown into your heart, you took that for granted. You took that nonchalant. That was so of unimportance to you. The devil comes and devours that. It's no longer there to deal with. It's no longer there to help you. Right? Got to take time to consider it. Take time. Every time he does this in your life, it simply makes it harder for you. Do you understand? When you let the fowls of the air come along and take that seed, that sown seed out of your heart, just say, man, Sunday, God preached a little something to your heart and you hadn't done anything with it. You hadn't pursued it. You hadn't studied it. You hadn't took it to the prayer closet. You hadn't dealt with it properly. Just say the devil comes and devours that. You know what happens every time you allow him to do that? He pulls the wool over your eyes. He turns the lights out. It gets a little bit darker. Now I promise you, every time he devours a seed in your life, it becomes harder and harder and harder for you to see the light. I'll show you what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. I want you to understand the devil is out to blind you. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Do you understand what I'm saying? When that word is being sown and you do not deal with that word, the enemy comes along and destroys, devours, annihilates that word in your heart. And all it does, it makes it darker for you. It makes it harder for you. All it does is makes you more blind and more blind to the point to where it's almost impossible to see the light. And if it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't, none of us ever even get to see that light. How can you believe? Let me ask you a question. How can you believe what you don't understand? Huh? How can you believe what you don't understand? If you don't understand something, you're going to probably have a hard time believing that. That's just the way it is. That word devour, I told you, I'd tell you what it means. I wrote it down out of a simple dictionary. It means to be eat up. To eat up. That's what the devil does with that seed in your heart. He eats it up. It means to eat ravenously.
I mean, it's like you're starving to death, if you can imagine in your mind's eye, not having anything to eat for a few weeks, and somebody put a bowl in front of you. I can remember when Zach and him was young and in school and wrestling, and he was the state champ, by the way. And thought I'd throw that out there in case nobody ever heard that. And Zach will tell you good and well that they had to, at 145 pounds, he had to cut weight and get down to 130. And they would sweat and go without food and sweat and go without food. When all the tournaments was over, ladies and gentlemen, all them wrestlers would get together and go out to a buffet bar somewhere, and they would devour a buffet bar. They would dig in. I mean, son, they would eat that thing like a bunch of wild animals. Am I kidding? They would just go crazy over that buffet bar. Then the next thing all of them would be doing, because they eat like a bunch of dogs, they'd all be in the bathroom puking their guts out. Right. And that's what the devil does. Listen to me, church. You can go to church. You can sit down, read your Bible, wherever the Word of God has been sown into your heart. But if you don't take time to deal with that Word of God, the enemy, the devil, the fowls of the air is going to come and tear into your heart and rip that seed out and annihilate that, eat that up, and destroy that Word of God from ever working in your heart like it was supposed to work. That's what he's talking about, the heart that's sitting by the wayside. Isn't that good? I mean, you can look at them several different ways. It means to destroy. That word devour means to destroy. It means, watch this, it means to consume with violence. He's not polite about it. He don't care what he leaves behind. It's to consume with violence. It means to annihilate, to waste, to ruin. It means to slay. Huh? He'll kill that word in your heart. He'll destroy that word in your heart. Why? Because you're not doing anything with it. You're not doing anything with it. You're just letting it lay there. Your heart's laying over by the wayside. You ain't took time to consider. Hey, let me ask you a question. I'm saying, when's the last time you let the Word of God work in your life? Good. It's good. If you take the Word of God and just let it be there in your heart, then the devil will destroy that seed that is sown in your heart. That's all I'm trying to tell you. If you think that you can tell God that you didn't understand, listen to me. If you think you're going to stand before God, I want you to please get a hold of this, because this is a lot bigger than what I can teach. But if you think that you're ever going to stand before God one day and you're going to tell God that you did not understand this or you didn't understand that, if you think for half a second that God's going to say, well, that's okay, I'm sorry you didn't understand, you're badly mistaken, friend. God's not going to say that. God's not going to excuse our ignorance. He's not going to excuse our sloth. He's not going to excuse us taking the seed and not considering it and doing anything with it. He's not going to allow excuses, Zach. Right? It's not going to do it. No excuses on that day. God will not take an excuse, because there ain't an excuse. I'm saying, in your darkness or not. You better understand this. Satan wants to remove every ounce of light in your life just to keep you in the dark. Right? That's what he would love to do. He'd love to remove every ounce of light that he could. What's the light? It's that word that's been sown in your heart. He wants to remove that. I promise you, if you're not going to do anything with it, he will. I'm trying to think, when I make these statements sometimes, Jimmy, I'm trying to think of biblical explanations. Could you think of anybody that didn't understand the Word of God in the Word of God? Can you think of anybody that was reading the scriptures? Now, I know it's hard for you, because I've had time to sit down and meditate and think and pray and study and look. But just sit there and you see, just while I'm teaching this, Miss Debbie, can you think of anybody that might have been reading their Bible in the Bible that had a hard time understanding the Bible? They were hearts that was by the wayside in this Bible. Zach, seed was being sown in their heart. They was people that didn't understand it. Can I give you one real good example? That Ethiopian that was passing by didn't have a clue what the Word of God was saying to him, huh? He was reading that Bible, son, he didn't understand. That word was being sown into his heart, he didn't understand. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad he didn't just take the Word of God and put it aside and say, man, I don't understand this book. It's too confusing. No, sir. He found him a man of God somewhere and said, sir, would you tell me what this thing means? Would you tell me what these scriptures mean? I mean, boy, this thing's being sown in my heart and I don't understand it. Could you help me understand what this Bible's got to say? Well, I'm telling you, the old boy got saved by the grace. Ain't you glad? Huh? That there's good Bible illustrations to, man, back up these ideas and these verses in the Bible. He didn't just shrug it off and go to hell. That's what he could have done. He could have just shrugged it off and went to hell. But he found him somebody that could help him. That's what we ought to do if we can. Hey, listen, I got friends in my life. I'll call them up. I'm not prideful like that. I mean, I might be about some other things, but I'm not about that. I don't mind calling somebody up. I feel ashamed sometimes, Michael, to call people up because I feel like ought to dig and search a little bit, study a little bit more. I mean, your daddy preached a message about 2 months ago. I would to God they hadn't gotten rid of it on the internet. I mean, they put it on the internet. They don't keep some of that stuff about 2 weeks. And man, I listened to it and I went, man, it was loaded with stuff. And I said, man, I'm going to listen to that again before I got to listen to it again. And I was going to study it. And before I got to it, it was gone. So I've asked everybody, Dale, Amy, all of them. I went through them like, can I get, they act like they don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I told Brother Asquith? I wish to God y'all left it alone because it'd been easy for me just to copy yours instead of having to study for myself. Amen. Now I got to study. Appreciate that. Lord have mercy. Good stuff, man. It was good stuff. And Timmy, y'all might remember it. He was dealing with the heart. And the significance, the purpose in it. I think he was talking about Jacob. Yeah, when Joseph was told to be alive and has heart failed and stuff. Yeah, all that good stuff. And that heart, y'all know I've been looking forward to that heart stuff. All right, next is in verses 16 and 17. Look at what the Bible says. That one heart is sitting by the wayside receiving the word of God and doing nothing with it. I'm just trying to let you know this evening that every heart sitting in this congregation tonight is going to be found in this passage. Every heart. Every heart sitting in this congregation tonight will be found in this passage of scriptures. And God forbid it be that heart that's sitting by the wayside that hears the word. God forbid that we don't do anything with the word that we hear, huh? But there might be a heart in here that's received the word that doesn't take time to deal with it. Might be. Might be. Now, I'll tell you what I'd do. I'd get that thing right. Let's go. So number 2 is in verses 16 and 17. These are they that likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. I want to look at this heart tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind. I want to look at this heart tonight as a heart that's believed. I want to look at this as a heart of a believer, Miss Stephanie. Because the Bible says when he heard the word, he received it. And the other scripture said he received it with joy, with anon. Is that right? He received it gladly. Man, he received the word. And then he said, verse 17, but he received it with gladness and have no root in themselves. You know what I believe these people do? I believe they get saved and I believe that's it. I've seen that all over America. I've seen that all my life. I've seen people get saved and never get any discipleship. I've seen them get saved. Man, I'm telling you, these churches pump out numbers and they pump out souls and pump out professions and all they try to do is claim souls and run people through the baptistry. But I'm telling you, some of them people might end up short of getting saved, but they never really do grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of Jesus Christ. And this is those people. They receive the word. But they didn't get rooted and grounded in the word. And you can search those two words, rooted and grounded. They're all through your Bible. And we ought to get rooted and grounded in that word so that when these storms do come, there's something there. There's some stamina. There's some roots. There's some strength in our faith. You understand? Listen, your spirituality is up to you. You understand that? You're as spiritual as you want to be. Now there's a lot of people in this world likes to blame and point their finger at everybody else for not being right with God, for not being spiritual, for not being what they ought to be. There's a lot of finger pointing goes on when it comes to this. So let me tell you something. If you're not where you ought to be, it ain't nobody's fault but yours. Nobody's. It's yours and yours alone. Okay? God will never allow you to stand up there in heaven and there again make that excuse, Lord, I couldn't be all that you wanted me to be because my brother, my sister, my spouse, my friends, they hindered me. God will not accept that excuse. He just don't do it. I say that because, I've heard this all my life, and probably most of y'all have heard this too, but I've heard preachers all my life. You heard the word, the terminology, PKs, preacher's kids, heard that all my life. PKs, why do they call them PKs? Well, there's a whole idea that goes behind this PK stuff because the churches are so wicked, Timmy. This is the philosophy. The churches are so wicked that, they destroy these preachers' kids. My kid's wicked because, hey, if your kids had to be drugged, you know how many times I've heard that stupid junk. My kids has been exposed. I've had to drag my kid. Hey, listen, man, I pastored in Mississippi. My kids sat right there slap dab in the middle of it all. That's right. I've had my children look at me and say, Daddy, nobody loves us, do they? I'm going to tell you something, friend. My God's bigger than that. I wasn't going to give up on my kids. I wasn't going to let them just get by with everything because the church people enforced them wrong. The church people hurt their feelings because somebody out there said something they shouldn't say or do something they shouldn't do. You know who my children, who was responsible for them? Not the church. Me and them. Right. As long as they were my kids living in my house, I was responsible for my kids. Oh, it would be nice if I could blame every stupid thing my children did on the church. Boy, they've been around in church people. Hey, listen, church people ain't hurt my kids.
If anybody's ever hurt them, it's probably been me or themselves. Right.
So silly junk. Your spirituality, ladies and gentlemen, is up to you. You are as spiritual as you want to be. It's your responsibility. Nobody can hold you back from being close to God. No, friend. There's nothing wrong with you going ahead and memorizing all the scriptures you can, because if we do go into persecution, if we go in these concentration camps, there's nothing wrong in this world of having the Word of God hid in your heart. Friend, they can't stop that. Do you hear me? I mean, all of hell can't stop that. A prayer life, huh? A prayer life like Daniel? I mean, man, Daniel took a stand. Daniel was persecuted. They come against him. Man, he didn't compromise. He didn't wander. He didn't waver. If anybody had excuses not to be living for God, it could have been old Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, huh? Man, I don't think we faced what them old boys faced. How many of y'all's been thrown in the lion's den? How many of you's been carried out there to a fiery furnace because you's living for Jesus and said, hey man, if you don't recant, we're going to throw you in that. But how many of us has had to deal with that? None of us had to deal with nothing like that. I've heard so many blame casters that it's pathetic. People blame everyone else for their position in the Lord Jesus Christ. It ain't nobody else's fault. If I'm not where I ought to be with Jesus, you know whose fault that is, Eric? It's my fault. That's my fault. Oh, how many weak back preachers have I heard sit around and complain because their wife ain't where she ought to be. I'm going to tell you why she ain't where she ought to be. Because he ain't where he ought to be. That's right. You know why most folks ain't living for God? They don't want to. That's why people don't live for God, because they just don't want to, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, I'm not very smart, don't have too much money, and don't have a whole lot of looks, and got some favor from the Lord and found grace and mercy. But I'll be honest with you, it's easier for me to live for God, Michael, than it is for me not to. Man, I can get out of step with God. You hear me? My life becomes miserable in a hurry, Mama. It's easier for me to live for God. Oh yeah, we face storms. Yes, we face persecutions. Yes, we face trial. But I tell you, I'd rather do them in the fellowship of the Father than to do them without.
I'm gonna tell you what, I'm gonna go through trials, I'm gonna go through hardships, I'm gonna go through some hard times in my life, whether I'm walking with God or not, whether I'm saved or whether I'm lost, whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong. Hey, we all go through things alike, friend. Everybody has car wrecks, everybody gets the flu, everybody faces adversity, everybody has problems in their life. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. I'd just rather be doing it with Jesus, haven't you? Sure, I'd rather do it in the fellowship of the Father. I'd rather know that I got somebody to lean on, somebody to hold me up, somebody to carry me through, somebody I cast my cares on. I'd rather know that. You want to know why people ain't walking in the Spirit? What does your Bible say? I'm tired of excuses. I'm talking about that heart that sits around. Hey, look, man, people receive the Word of God. Yeah, man, the Word of God's good. Have nothing about them. Just toss to and fro with every little old thing. Something comes their way and they just fall all to pieces. You hear me? Somebody can say something to them, they just fall all to pieces. They might have got saved, but they ain't got a thing in the world about them, son. They ain't never grown in the grace of Jesus. Right? Not going to take away their salvation. That's between them and God. They say they got saved. Hey, they say they got saved. I don't know if they got saved. I don't know if anybody's saved. But me. That's right. There's people that have that heart that just can't come to the place and quit pointing fingers and realize I am my biggest problem. Listen. Miss Stephanie, what does your Bible say? Why does people not walk in the Spirit? Because they're just too busy fulfilling the lust of their flesh. That's right. The Bible says if you'll walk in the Spirit, you won't do that. The reason people ain't walking in the Spirit is because they're doing that. They're fulfilling the lust of this flesh. They want to indulge in the lust of this flesh. God, help us not to have the hearts in here that just defies to walk in the Spirit. I'm saying that you're just as spiritual today as you want to be. I won't mess with that. You know, I got three brothers. All of us was raised by the same mama and all of us was raised by the same man. We're all in the same house. We all went to the same church. Every one of us, Eric, did something different. Every last one of us did something different. All four of us. And I can see times that, I mean, Bud, we were stupid and we failed and we flopped and we sinned and we messed up and we brought a reproach on our parents just terrible, terrible. But I can see the times. Listen now, I can see the times. I got saved and I got right. I tried to get right and stay right, Miss Amber. I've tried not to wobble on the axle. I've tried not to compromise. I've tried not to bounce in and out. I've tried to stay on track for God. I've messed up. I've sinned along the way. But I've tried to stay on track with God. Since I've been right with God, since I've been in that fellowship, since I've been where I ought to be, I've actually seen my mama sit and take blame on herself for my grown brothers. Yeah. Sit and beat herself up. Can I be honest with you? She knows how we are. Did she fail? Absolutely she failed. Did she do things she should? Absolutely, just like me, I did too. But there came a time in my life where I had to make a decision for myself. And it had nothing. I did everything sometimes saying that she told me not to do. Was that her fault? Was it her fault that she beat me like a dog? No, nope, it's my fault. Well, we didn't get by with it. I'm saying we did this stuff. We didn't get by with it, Mr. Day. We wasn't like that. But here's what I had to tell my mama. Mama, me and them boys was raised in the same house. They're doing what they're doing, not because of you. They're doing that because that's what they want to do. Right. Your brothers was raised in the same house as you. Ain't one of you here. Ain't one of you here. Son, you're here because you want to be, and they're not because they don't want to be. It's that simple. It's that simple. If they want to be here, they can be here. If they wanted to, they can be here. Now, I might have done some things, Miss Stephanie, that encouraged them and messed them up. And I know I did some stupid stuff raising children. I know I did. I made mistakes. I got regrets that I'll never be able to get by. Just wish to God I'd have never done some of that stuff. But I tell you, there comes a time in your life where you're going to have to take responsibility for yourself. That's right, friend. Quit blaming other people.
Quit blaming it. Hey, listen, if you go to hell, God will never allow you to stand up there and blame you yourself going to hell on nobody else. He's going to hold you accountable.
Right.
If you go to hell today, it's not going to be because of what somebody's done or what somebody said or because somebody else hindered you, friend. It's going to be, listen, I used to worry about invitation. Listen, if you go, it's going to be because you.
Right.
Look at verse number 17. They had no root in themselves and so endured but for a time. Afterwards, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You must understand that even if you receive the word with gladness, there is some afflictions on its way for your life. Are you listening? You don't have to be that person in the first heart. You can be the heart that loves the word, receives the word. You can take and consider the word. You can grow in that word. You can do all kinds. You can grow in the grace and knowledge and truth. There's a heart, friend, but you better be ready to face some afflictions because they're coming. Afflictions happen. They come in people's life. He said people receive the word joyful or gladly and they have affliction and persecution. Isn't that something? That affliction can come all through all kind of avenues in your life. It can come through the brethren. Are you listening? Affliction can come. You know the greatest affliction that I've ever found when it came within my own home, my own family. When my own family did things that wasn't good, boy, that afflicted me, it seemed like, more than anything in the world, Miss Stephanie. When my boys didn't do right, or me and my wife was butting heads, friend, I tell you, that caused me more affliction when it happened. But I'm telling you, it can come through your spouse, it can come through your children, it can come through your friends, it can come through your work partners, it can come through all walks of life. But mark it down. It's coming. So what, preacher? So you better get you some word. You better get the word of God settled in your heart. You better grow in grace and knowledge and truth. You better get rooted and grounded in that word so that you ain't just blown away. Then he said there's persecutions. When you live for God or when you set out to live for God, listen, anytime you take a step towards God, there's going to be something or somebody that wants to fuss and fight. They want to tear you down. It's just amazing. You can try to live for God and raise your family. You can take them little old boys back there and try to raise them right. You take them little boys, that boy and girls back there and try to raise them right. Would you believe there's people in the family, people in the church that will criticize the way you raise your kids because you've got some standards? Hey. You may not let your kids have iPods when they get old enough to have an iPod. You know, what the world calls old enough, what, 5, 6, 7? I mean, my God, now they can't even talk. They got gadgets. Would you believe there's going to be people in your life that says, I can't believe you won't let that little boy have an iPod. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with an iPod. It's how you use it. I'm going to tell you what's wrong with an iPod. Mom and Dad said no. Mom and Dad said no, then it's no. If anybody says anything else is dead, wrong, and wicked, friend. I say let Mom and Dad raise them kids. But I can promise you, ladies and gentlemen, here's what happens. People do this kind of stuff, and they can come against you. I've seen churches fall apart because people run their mouth. Persecutions. Afflictions. This stuff that people have to say about you and to you. About you, behind your back. You catch wind and listen, it happens in the churches all the time. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get this. And I've said this years ago and I still believe it. We could go down the road here and put us up a nice little fancy building. We could change Jesus's. We could change Bibles. We could change our standards that much. We could change a few convictions here and there, Miss Stephanie. We can let some things slip and slide around. And I promise you, we could pack out a building, ladies and gentlemen, that just make you stand in awe. And I tell you, we would have us an enemy that would come by Eric every once in a while and pat us on the back. The devil, I believe, would come by and say, y'all put a good job. Y'all doing such a good job. You get the wrong doctrine, friend, the devil ain't going to bother you. You get in a place that's preaching the word of God straight, a people that's trying to get to God, a people that's trying to have a heart for God. You can count on this. The enemy is coming in, and he's coming in hard. He's going to do everything he can to cause division in that church. All right. I'm just saying, sometimes people might say something, hey listen, this family raises their children this way, this family can raise their children this way, this family can raise their children. Hey friend, let them people raise their children! You know, you can get in more trouble telling people how to raise their children than, you know, it's amazing. I had a woman today, listen, I had a woman today tell me that somebody said something to her about her child. She said, would you know I had a .38 in my pocketbook? She said, I had to go out to my car because I wanted to blow their brains out. She said, I gave my gun to my husband because I was afraid of what I might do. My God, man. You know what happened in the church, in your home, in your life, in your heart? Just in life in general, if you do not grow in the Word of God, if you don't let the Word of God rule your heart, I can tell you this much, friend. People can say the things that they say, and you will get plumb sideways with everybody, and God included. But I know most of the time how people's heart is, Timmy, according to how they respond to persecution. I know how people's heart is, Zach, most of the time, how they respond to afflictions in their life. I know whether you're reading that Bible, letting that word do anything in your heart, because the first little old thing that's said, the first little thing you don't like, you get all sideways, friend. That's what his heart's talking about right here. Huh? Persecutions. People, that thing falling on some ground that, hey, man, you received it good, but that's all you did with it, just received it gladly. You didn't grow in it. Hey, listen, am I the only one? But can you see the shallowness of people's Christianity today? I mean, people are falling out everywhere you look, man. You can't say nothing to anybody anymore. I'm sorry, okay? I'm sorry. I'm not a Hillary Clinton fan. I just say, I'm not a Hillary fan. I'm not a Donald Trump fan. The only thing I like is to see what that idiot's going to say next. I mean, we laugh about that, don't we? Have a good time knowing what that nut's going to say next. Shooting himself in the foot. Miss Debbie, they said Donald Trump needs to get these black votes. He needs to get the African-American votes. That's what the liberals say. Miss Debbie, the liberals is hounding him because he ain't going after the African-American votes. Yeah. He ain't doing this, and he ain't doing that. He ain't doing this, and he ain't staying on track. And he gets off track, and he... Last night he gave a speech, read a teleprompter, stayed right on track, said exactly what they said he ought to say. Every one of them liberals, everything they said he ought to do, he did. When it was all said and done, guess what? They said, I can't believe he talked about the black people like he did. I'm sitting there going, well, he just said everything that you said he ought to say. And that one guy said, well, if you're going to deal with black people, you're to talk to them, not about them. I said, you can't win for losing, friend. You can't please some people. You want to know what the problem is? They so shallow, friend. They wouldn't know God from a goat. Do you understand? They reveal their wickedness when you start acting like that. And it happens in the churches too. Amen. Happens in families, ladies and gentlemen. If brothers and sisters can act like that toward each other, don't you think that brothers and sisters in the church can act like that? Sure they can. Well, listen to what your Bible says. Psalms 119 verse 165. He said something like this. Perfect peace have they that love thy law. That book. And what my brother says about it is going to tear me all to pieces. Perfect peace have they that love thy law. And what old Miss So-and-so, did you see the way she looked at me? Did you hear what she said to her? Did you see the way she looked at down at somebody? Hey, did you hear what he said? Perfect peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You want to know why you're getting so offended and everything? Because you don't love the Word of God. Hello? Come on, somebody, help me out. I'm telling you, the reason people get so bent out of shape is because they're out of love with the Word of God. You fall in love with that Word. You fall in love with that Word. You fall in love with that Word. He
junk. People can say what they want. They can look what they want. They can think what they want. It ain't going to stop the peace that God puts in you. Friend, they can be miserable. They can be hateful. They can be whatever. You're going to have perfect peace if you love the Word of God. Ain't that what it said? Perfect peace have they that love thy law. That's his law. And nothing shall offend them. Oh yes, things is going to get you upset. We have to live in this old world. I have to watch these liberals. I have to watch them pass laws for same-sex marriage. I have to watch them pass laws to abort murder babies. I have to watch all this stuff go. Yes, that offends me. But friend, it don't get me sideways with God. It ain't going to split me up in the church. I don't get all bent out of shape with the brethren. Friend, I got the Word of God to help balance and counter everything this old world hands me. Good. It's good. I want you to understand this. There's many things or comments that are very offensive, but if you dwell on them, they'll eat you alive. Is that so? Will people's comments eat you up if you let them? Sure they will. They'll eat you up. Listen to what Isaiah 26:3 said. Hallelujah. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get all bent out of shape and you start breaking fellowship and sowing discord and wreaking havoc, it just lets me know, friend, that you ain't trusting in the Lord. Would you believe there's hearts in this congregation that don't trust in the Lord? I mean, you can say the right thing and people get all messed up. I'm just telling you, there's every heart that's mentioned in this passage right here, sitting in this congregation tonight. God's telling us why the heart is like that. God is telling us how to deal with the hearts. But just take heed to the Word of God. What I'm trying to say today is if you get offended and get sideways with God, you get out, bent out of shape with the church, listen, it ain't the people's fault that got you, that looked at you funny. If you get sideways with God, it ain't the person that said something's fault. You can't blame them. God's not going to accept that. It's your fault. Because you ain't walking in the Word. You ain't loving the Word. You ain't trusting in the Lord. Because he said, no matter what, I'll give you peace. What did Apostle Paul say the other day, church? Apostle Paul said, man, we're troubled on every side, perplexed. We went down through all that. Paul said, I'm not going to get bent out of shape over this job. Tell you what, CVS wouldn't have never made it in Apostle Paul's life. You hear me? Apostle Paul wasn't going down to the CVS. He wasn't going to the pharmacy to take a bunch of pills to help calm his nerve. He knew what God, who God was. He had the Word of God, friend. That settled it all for him. Right. Them sorcerers back in them days didn't like Paul, man. He's running them out of business. Well, yes, Timmy. Should people shut up? Yeah. People need to mind their own business. You know? Miss Debbie, I ain't got time to worry about everybody else. As far as what they doing wrong and what, you know, where they been. I ain't got time. Man, I got so much to worry about with myself. If I could take care of myself, Miss Debbie, I'd be doing real good. You hear me? If I could just treat my wife right and love her the way she ought to be loved, if I could pray the way I ought to pray, read my Bible, serve this church, serve you as a people the way I ought to, be the servant that Stephanie I ought to be, I don't have time to worry about all that junk. Yeah. I'd venture to say they probably ain't a person in this congregation raises kids like me, and hey, thank God for it. Thank God nobody raised kids like I raised kids. You'd be locked up in a jail somewhere. I don't want you in jail. We ain't got no money to get you out. I can't pay your bail. Yeah, people need to be still. They need to mind their own business. Do people say the wrong things? Yes, people say the wrong things, but I'm telling you, it's your responsibility how you respond to those wrong things. Right? Are you going to respond like a heathen? You're going to respond like a child of God? What's that word doing in your heart? If that word of God's doing its job in your heart, friend, I promise you, you'll respond right. Hey, preacher, listen, I've responded wrong 1,000 times. Hello. I've responded wrong 1,000 times, Timmy. You know why? Because that word wasn't doing what it's supposed to do in my heart. It wasn't nobody's fault but mine. I wouldn't let it, Miss Stephanie. Right. It's got me in a world of trouble too, friend. Responding wrong.
responding like an idiot sometimes.
Boy, you know how many times I've sat back? You know how many times I've sat back in my home? I know y'all probably get sick and tired of hearing this kind of stuff. It's just who I am. It's what I am. But there's been times my wife has said things to me, Sammy, and I've responded as wrong as I could possibly respond. And in the heat of the argument, Michael, I've had to sit down and go, you idiot. All you had to say was this. Or you just could say it like this. You didn't have to say it like you said it. One tone, one response could have changed the whole afternoon. Huh?
A lot of old hard feelings, man. Old stupid talk, wasted time. Well, we should have been redeeming the time. Glory to God, kissing and smooching and hugging and loving. Yeah, I like that. Amen. Say amen back there, Snookums, or whatever it is. Hey, man, you ought to be redeeming the time. I think we got Zach and Amber some competition in here. They're not the only ones that's going to be smooching anymore. I mean, Eric would talk to his wife. He's up here for 3 days, and I'd go home and kiss my wife all over. I just want to go home and kiss my wife, and he got done talking to his. She love you, good looking. I love you, Snookums. I love you. Hey, I like it, man. Thank God. You know, I was thinking the other day, Brother Ask was talking about, we was talking about that nakedness, Eric, and I was thinking, I wasn't going to interrupt Brother Asquith when he was preaching, but we went and looked at that one house, about a 300-pound man over there with his shirt off, and I told him, I said, glory to God, you ought to get this. Your wife will think you're the king of the jungle, man. One look at him, son, she'll be tickled to death, she married you, I promise you that. Woo! Big old ugly thing had his shirt off. I was like, man, put your shirt on, Lord God. Well, hey, can I tell you what the root of drama is? Hey, you ladies know what drama is. Us men do too. We're about as bad as women, Lord. Can I get a witness? Timmy, you know what the problem, you know what the root of drama is, and boy, where he got with it today. Listen, ladies. Listen, fellas. It's a bad heart. It's a bad heart. You get that old heart right, friend. What is that heart? Heart of love. That heart of charity. I'll tell you what, eliminate that drama in your life. Charity. Look up some of the characteristics, some of the things about charity. I promise you, it will eliminate the drama in your life. Somebody tell me, church, some of y'all that's been here, who do you love? Who do you love? You remember? Say it. Preach, sister. You love who you help. You love who you help. Let me ask you something about here, Eric and Miss Hannah. You love them youngins? You help them an awful lot. Let me tell you something. You probably love them more than they love you. But you help them a lot more than they help you. I'm going to tell you who you love, ladies and gentlemen. You love who you help. You got a problem with somebody? Do something for them. You got some schisms with somebody? Hey, you want to get that old heart right? Because it ain't right when it's like that. Go do something for them. So I ain't got the money. You don't have to have money to go be a friend. You can do stuff without money. You can pray for them. I'm going to tell you something. God will change your heart when you start praying because you love who you help. Man, prayer helps people. You understand, man? Brother Ashton said, he sat over there and prayed for me the other day. Man, I tell you, I got to thinking about that this week. That helped me knowing he sat over there and prayed for me. You love who you help. I got to hurry. You know what the Bible says the words of the wise are? It's his goads. Y'all remember what I said goads was? Back then when they plowed them oxen, oxen would want to quit, sit down, and not plow anymore. They had them goads. It was like a long spear. And they would take that thing and they would poke that old rough hide of that oxen. You couldn't hardly penetrate it with them goads. They could pierce it just deep enough to hit them nerve and get that oxen up and get him back to plowing. Every once in a while, you get all sideways with God. Your heart gets all messed up. You get a bunch of junk in there that ain't in the way. And you just plumb get out of sorts with God. You know what The Bible says, the words of the wise are as goads. God sends you a word every once in a while that'll just prick you, that'll just help you, huh? It'll get you back on track. It'll get you getting back after God. You hear me? I'm telling you, people that seeking after God and get sideways sometimes, dear God, God will send a wise word and it'll just come and prick you to get back in this thing with Jesus. Amen. Thank God, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Word of God will do. All this is the cures to a wrong heart. The cause, the cures, the Word of God is everything to us. Look at verse 18 and 19. These are they which, boy, I ain't going to deal with this. I ain't got time. These are they, very brief. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. People go to church, they hear it. And the cares of this world, isn't that something? And the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. It's just amazing, or crazy, I should say, crazy how the devil does this. Just crazy. I can remember being a young Christian, it seems like everything that could come up did come up when it was church day. Understand, I'd be over on that golf course, whether I was framing houses or working on the golf course or pulping, cutting pulp wood. And it just seemed like, ladies and gentlemen, if anything could go wrong, it was going to go wrong on Wednesday. Just saying that way. You remember the times I had to show up down there at church, Miss Stephanie, with my work clothes on, filthy, nasty, dirty, stinking, sit back up on the back row because I didn't want to stink everybody out because I had to push to get there. You know how many times I've walked off the job, Sammy, because church was starting, the job wasn't complete, and I just made up my mind, I have to get to the house of God. He's talking about stuff that happens to people in their life. Stuff that happens in their heart that gets them out of the house of God. Gets them away from the Word of God. It still happens. Michael and him know that I helped Salisbury High School baseball team this year. I helped them young men. I wanted to be able to reach out and maybe try to be a blessing to some young men in high school, public high school. So we went down there, Zach, and decided we was going to help them coach that baseball team. And Michael, all my kids played ball through school. Now, they didn't have to play ball, but they were going to play PlayStation. And they was going to do something. They was not going to sit around in the house. They wasn't going to watch TV. They wasn't going to play video games. We were going to do something. And they just said, well, sports would be the best option. And I said, well, that's fine. We'll play ball. Right. So we worked hard at it, didn't we?
You're going to do it right.
We wasn't good enough just to not work. We had to work. Mom, I went down there and every one of them was raised in Little League. Never did have nothing on Wednesday nights. I remember one Easter or something, Mother's Day, something, y'all had Little League on a Sunday, and I remember having to pull y'all away from the ball field going, we got to go to church. We can't, no, we're not doing this. Remember that? Northwest Forsyth Little League. But Michael, I jumped up there and wanted to help this team. Never one time did we have anything like that. Would you believe they scheduled a ball game on every Wednesday night this year? Have you ever had ball games on Wednesday night in high school? Ever? 4 years of high school, never had one game on Wednesday night. Now, Mama, we've got a Christian coach, head coach down there. He's Christian. He's religious is what he is. He's religious. And he set up a schedule. We got games on every Wednesday night. You know what I told him? We'll be there on Wednesday. We got church. Do you know some of the other assistant coaches trying to make me feel stupid? And I do my dead level best to lap them to shame. Right. I mean, they feel stupid, Miss Stephanie. They like to try to call it out in front of God and everybody. I go, yep, that's right. You know what finally happened? Timmy and I was so glad it happened because it's a testimony. Them old boys quit asking, Coach, where was you Wednesday night? Hey! You know what they got to saying? Thursday at practice, and Coach, we missed you last night. How was church? I said, man, it was good. Amen. That's a blessing. That's a testimony. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to take that from you. Hey, listen, that's a little light shining down there in that wicked town. Matthew went to a private school up here. It wasn't a Christian. It was not Christian, but he went to a good good private school up here in Louisville, North Carolina. You know, them lost people sitting up there wouldn't even give homework on Wednesday night. They said it's family night because they knew some people go to church on Wednesday night, and you know, they just taught it because it was not Christian. They just taught it family night. The teachers didn't even give homework on Wednesday night. Pretty good at it. But now I asked old Brother Sammy Allen. I said, Brother Allen, sitting right down there in Concord. I said, Brother Allen, I said, could you tell me, what is he, about 80 now, 70 some years old? Brother Sammy's going up a little bit. I said, Brother Allen, you've been in many pulpits, many churches all over this country. Can you tell me the one thing that's hindering the move of God more than anything else these days that you've, just what you've seen? You know what he said to me? He said, sports. He said, well, moms and dads used to not miss church on a Wednesday night, or used to wouldn't miss the Bible meeting because of no little league. He said, now, son, they'll miss on Wednesday night. They'll miss Sunday. You know what that, friend, I'm telling you, that's the devil working in people's hearts. They've lost that desire. They've lost that desire in their heart to be faithful. They've lost that zeal and that love. My goodness, I gotta hurry. You know what Matthew said in 6:33? He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know what our heart's desire ought to be? It ought to be after the Lord. It ought to be God. It ought to be the Lord Jesus. Hey, listen, there's jobs. The Lord will let you have a job, and I'm trying to hurry. The Lord will let you have a job. Next thing you know, you start thinking about the money instead of the God that lets you have that job. And people start laying out of church because they can make a couple more dollars. Hey, let me ask you something. What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
God's the one that let us get up in the mornings and breathe and put our feet on the floor.
He's the one to give us the clothes to put on our back. He's the one, thank God, that's given us these jobs. And I tell you, man, we're not letting our jobs, our money. Hey, he said all these things start coming into play. It's just tools of Satan's act to distract our heart and get our hearts where it not obey. People start chasing dollars more than they do Jesus. And I understand, Sammy, there's some people that has to. There's doctors that has to be at work. There's police officers that has to be at work. Nurses, I understand, man. I understand that kind of stuff. Friend, we got a generation today that'll sell God out for another dollar an hour. Are you listening? And it just ain't worth it. It's just a tool of Satan. Seek first the kingdom of God. You're going to profit nothing. He said all these old thorns and stuff, they come up. I'm done, church. I was with a man the other day and asked him, I said, Steve, do you raise a garden? Not this Steve, another Steve. I said, Steve, do you raise a garden? He's an old country boy. He said, no, I don't raise a garden. I said, why? Well, listen, I'm trying to hurry. I'm cutting it short. I said, why? He said, because I can't control the weeds.
He said, I can't control the weeds. He said, the weeds take it over. He said, the weeds kill all my plants, and I can't produce any crops because the weeds just take... Hey, listen, friend, I thought, man, that's pretty sorry to let the weeds take over.
Do you know what he was trying to say, Miss Stephanie? There's a lot of hearts in the churches today. There's a lot of hearts across our country today. The seed has been sown into their hearts. But people let the thorns grow up. People let stuff grow in their life. They let other stuff take the place of the Word of God. And I'm telling you, they let them weeds choke out the Word. We're to the point where the Word of God has no effect in their life, huh?
You letting a weed grow? You letting some thorns grow? Is there something in your heart that's hindering the Word of God? I'm just asking you a question. What is it that's hindering you? What is it that's keeping you? What is it? What is those thorns in your life that's choking out the Word of God? Listen, man, there's nothing like going over there and getting some good old fresh green beans. There's nothing in this world like having peace with God.
I tell you, we let them thorns grow and it'll destroy the peace and the fellowship and the walk and everything else we've got with God. We let them thorns grow, I promise you. We let them thorns grow and it'll mess up our pursuit after God.
Preacher, what I do?
Same old thing I want to say, man. That word of God would tear out them. That word of God instead and would take it. You know what that Bible is? It's a spiritual roundup. You take that word of God. David said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How am I going to get these things out of my heart? By taking heed to the word of God. Whatever it says. I liked Abraham. He just took God at his word. They wasn't no ifs, ands, or buts. They wasn't, let's see what brother so-and-so said. Well, what does old so-and-so think? Friend, God said it, and Abraham said, that is it. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to follow. That's what I'm going to live by. Just what he said. And whatever he says to you, please, for God's sake, for your sake, just live by that book. David said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. He said that last heart was a fruitful heart. Ain't that where we want to be? Hey, listen, church, if we'll let the word of God do in this heart, if you don't understand the word of God, get you some understanding. Get with somebody to help you. Get in that book and find the answers. God wants you to find it. You know why God asks me questions when I read? Because God wants me to get the answer. I was reading over there, Michael, one day about the tabernacle, and they was covering it, and then how they had to put red over it. And I went, why does that have to be red? The question come up. Boy, I got over there. Hey, 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 months later, I wasn't even looking for it. But man, I searched out why that goat skin had to be dyed red. Woo! I'm telling you, and I looked, and I couldn't find the answer, and I prayed, and I couldn't find the answer. About 3, 4, 5, whatever months later, I was over there reading over in the book of Isaiah, completely out of the books that I was chasing. And I found that dyed goat skin. God, give me the answer. Boy, you talking about a revival sitting right there with myself? You talking about a refreshment? Man, God bless me. Listen, friend, that's what it's for. God wants to help you. Give you something fresh to help you along the way. Somebody says something about you. Man, you got that word in you. I tell you, it just cuts it down, friend. Instead of getting all sideways, you can smile and love them. Huh? Wasn't some good heart. That's a good heart. That old fruitful heart, producer fruit. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of the people. I pray, God, that you take this simple thought of our hearts. Lord, help us to understand where our heart is, where each and every individual is in this place tonight. And help us, oh God, just to walk in this word. Lord, I pray that you bless each and every family. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.